regular guest on that have the highest rate of accuracy in their predictions. And there's a lot of those folks. You just don't see them in mainstream media, even though Martin Armstrong's been all over mainstream media. Mainstream media is no longer the media. This is the media, and he's going to be joining us coming up in about 5 minutes when a bunch of stations join us. But Ellen, you're going to be back in the third hour. You'll be back in there with the big board with all the numbers because there's still House and Senate races ongoing. This is when they do try to pick a few things off it in 2018, 2020, 2022. They're going to try it again. So this battle that we've won the main battle, but they could still steal some of the gains. So talk about the latest, and then we'll go to break them up with Martin Armstrong.
Well, we're going to zoom in on these House races that are still up. We'll also crunch the latest numbers in the Senate races as well. But I think that when you look at Trump's victory, it pulled these senators, these Senate candidates, over the finish line. I mean, that's how big Trump's victory was last night. It pulled, I think, probably three seats across the finish line in the Senate as well. And we'll break all that down with the numbers when I rejoin on the big board in the third hour. The House races are a little more interesting. In fact, it's a bit of an anomaly. I think that there's two factors at play here. One, just the way the districts broke down, it favored the Democrats in this cycle for some of these seats, just the way the districts that were up broke down. And so we can look at that. But I think also what we're seeing here is Republicans. I look at the Kerry Lake campaign, and this is an anomaly to me. By the way, I think Kerry Lake is probably now the number one option for Trump to be press secretary. But you look at a Kerry Lake and you think, why can't she win an election? And maybe you point to the past race and you say, well, it was stolen from her. It was fraud. Or maybe we need to look at some of these other races, some of these local races and some of these Senate races, and find a way to rebrand conservatives, rebrand Republicans, find a way to hit the key areas to win these races. Because, again, you look at a Kerry Lake in Arizona, a state that Trump is carrying, and you think, how is it that she gets beaten? How can Trump not carry Kerry Lake over the finish line? What is that? And I think it needs to be studied for Republican races down ballot in the future, because even in the other states that Trump was winning, these Senate races were tighter in Pennsylvania, in Wisconsin, in Michigan. The Senate races were tighter than the presidential races. So Republicans need to find out, why did Trump perform better than these down ballot candidates in the Senate and in the House? So I think that it's something that needs to be studied by the GOP in order to have more success in the future, because even though I do still believe you're going to come out of this election with the House and the Senate and the White House, you feel like it could have been more. You feel like you left a little bit on the field, you left a little bit on the table, and I think that we need to figure out how that is. So we're going to dig into these House races because it's important that we continue to monitor these as the days go on. Because in the past, specifically, actually after 2016, we saw it every election cycle, 2018, 2020, 2022, and they would flip a House seat in the third, fourth, fifth day. They would flip a Senate seat in the third, fourth, fifth day. So we're going to continue to monitor this here. I hope the GOP and the RNC are monitoring these things too. I get it. The big Trump victory kind of has a bunch of gravity that can distract us from these smaller races that might feel inconsequential, but they won't be.
No, I mean, we have to have the trifecta to destroy the globalists.
Well, I do everything. Think the trifecta will happen, but there's no doubt if whatever.
I mean, let's say Trump's evil, like they use a bad analogy. I'm not saying he is. Sauron needs the ring.
Whatever energy they have left, they will put into what races are still on the table, I'm sure. And I assume that Whatley and Lara Trump are at least monitoring these things.
We've got to get Sauron on the ring.
We're going to get the three. We're going to get the trifecta. We're going to get it.
We are the ring race. We are going to get in the ring. We'll be right back. That's how the left sees us. I'm just joking. Kinda. We'll be right back. I'm here to tell you, brother, Donald Trump's going to save this country and nothing's going to stop it. Well, I've only lost 30-something pounds, 33, 40 pounds. I'm going down another 20 or 30, so I'll actually be in shape soon. I'm still not in shape.
Yeah. How are you, Alex, how are you doing that? Don't tell me eating right. I'm not going to buy that shit.
Well, I mean, I'm not taking Ozempic, if that's what you ask. I'm working
separately. Oh, no.
Nick is a big Ozempic fan.
I did it all from the alexjonesstore.com with Ultimate Sea Moss, the ultimate seafood. That's why, right here. This is the Ozempic of vitamins, the superfood.
Of the ocean.
The Ozempic of the sea.
Yes. The Ozempic of the sea. It's got the best iodine and all these weird minerals and vitamins that are only in the sea moss. And I am doing a plug here because, you know, we could be shut down. InfoWars is up for sale next Tuesday, forced by the court. But we'll continue on in the air one way or another, working with great folks.
Rallying patriots worldwide in defense of human liberty. It's Alex Jones.
All right, I've got a bunch of incredible guests coming up throughout the broadcast today. Roger Stone, General Flynn, Owen Schroyer, with these other races that aren't decided yet that are so critical. We'll also open the phones up, and it's so historic. I'll definitely do some extra broadcasting tonight as well. Because things are just too serious right now. We can't take this epic, historic, greatest comeback ever and greatest defeat of the globalist ever and just celebrate because we just won a huge strategic battle. It'd be like if the Russians in World War II beat the Nazis at Stalingrad and then just quit. Yeah, they're beaten if you keep pressing the attack and fight through the objective. So I would use the Stalingrad analogy. We just fought Stalingrad at great cost. We just won Stalingrad. Now we got to roll in to Germany proper. And that's where we are. And so put the gear on, folks, and get ready and take the gloves off because the New World Order is, and after Martin leaves us, I got a bunch of clips, CNN, MSNBC, you name it. They say, oh, the deep state. Save us. They actually say, yeah, the deep state's real and agencies, government, save us. No, we elected him to stop you criminals starting World War III and running the country in the ground and human trafficking little kids, you damn lunatics, and your frickin' lockdowns and all of it. I mean, look, you know you're in a real war. You're the ones who want to throw us all in prison and want to be totalitarians. You know what happens to people that try this crap? I mean, you know what happens, right? Most of the time, you're going to get in big trouble. Okay? So I'm going to warn the establishment, and a lot of them already figured it out. Back off. Yeah, we were asleep before. You could sneak in like a vampire and drink our blood. We're not asleep now. Okay? And there's the light of the midday sun of awakening. You guys can creep around in the dark all you want. Get your hands off of us. You understand? You think all your bullying and harassment does anything but pisses us off? You think that stuff works on us? How's it working out? If you know what to do, roll over, surrender, like Zuckerberg. All right. Martin Armstrong is a very respected economist and one of the most accurate statisticians out there with his computer models. He's well known everywhere. He doesn't need an introduction. He's here. We appreciate him on morning of this great victory. He's here with on election and taxes and the future. Putin has come out and said he's ready to seriously talk with Trump. He takes Trump seriously and wants to end the beginning of World War III before it gets too out of hand. We got the clips of that. Martin, 35,000 foot view, and then just drill into, can Trump stabilize things? What would you do? I know you're advising some of the Trump folks. Is he really about to drain the swamp? And if so, how do we support him? Martin Armstrong of ArmstrongEconomics.com. Thank you, sir.
How you doing, Alex?
Doing all right.
I think people have to understand the first time he was there, they picked everybody to go in the cabinet. And what you had was that they were then basically every one of them was stabbing you in the back, like John Bolton, for example. He started firing those people. This time, he's bringing in his own people. All right, there is a transition team, etc. Now he knows the game, so it's a little bit different this time than the last time. But if you look at, we've published a chart on our site. You can pretty much Google it. We've just taken up and allocated all the seats between the House and the Senate. The Democrats and those to Republicans and plotted it out. If you look at it just like a normal market, you'd have to see that the Democrats are in a bear market. The peak was with FDR the first time. Every high that they have made ever since is lower, and every low is lower. All right, our computer, you know, was it projected, you know, that Trump would win this time. And it's never been wrong. I mean, it just goes by the economics. We're not polling anybody, and it's not my personal opinion. It's really just basically people will vote on their economic situation. And look, 40% of the people will always vote Democrat, 40% will always vote Republican. So it's that slice in between that really makes the difference.
Well, that's right. I should have gotten the clip, but there's just so many predictions that you make that come true. You were on, what, 2 months ago, and you said Trump's going to win 100%.
Yeah. It's not my opinion, okay? It's just the computer puts it out, and sometimes I've been surprised, but I think I did a podcast with Craig Hunter, you know, a week before. I said, look, it's showing the gap is too big for them to fix this time. It's likely to get a clean sweep or a trifecta, as you're calling it. And Trump had also thrown out eliminating the income tax. As you know, I worked on Capitol Hill with Dick Armey and all those down there. I even, you know, debated Steve Forbes at Princeton University and the whole thing. Couldn't get it through back then. But income tax is no longer necessary. It was necessary when money was physical, you know, coins, gold and silver. The king had to get some back in order to spend it. Now we just print. Why do we even bother with this? It's not necessary on a federal level. States, fine, because they can't create the money. I was very encouraged that.
By the way, let's just glaze over that. I don't want to just glaze over that. This is a fact that since the 70s, you can even say earlier, the monetary system is not pegged really to anything, not even the petrodollar. And so they're doing all this. The claim that income tax funds the country is a lie. It's a social engineering, communist manifesto, system of control. Mm-hmm. All the big rich people have the laws written where they don't even have to pay it. It's a scam on the working class, and it's to stop upward mobility and create vertical integration. It is a bowling ball tied to our legs in the middle of the ocean, and it needs to be removed. So when they claim Trump will destroy the economy with his economic plan, it is pure horse manure. Correct, Martin?
Look, I mean, I testified before the House Ways and Means Committee on this. Why did everybody go to Hong Kong? Because they had a 15% corporate rate. I mean, I've advised more multinational companies, I think, than anybody. I know what moves it. And I've basically said, look, if you eliminate the income tax in the United States, all right, every major corporation is going to try and come here. And it's a fallacy that we even have a trade deficit. If you allocate trade according to the company's flag that it actually flies, you'll see the U.S. has a trade surplus. When you had income taxes in the 60s up to 94%, I mean, you drove everybody offshore. And, you know, so that's the way it really is. I mean, if you eliminate that income tax, all that money's going to come pouring into here.
Well, let's quantify that, sir. I mean, the income tax is a internal tariff by the elites against the people, because then the general public can't operate any big businesses, and then only globalists that are offshore can, and make a deal with China and make a deal with other developing countries, and then you impoverish and control the American people. It's a form of economic siege.
But what they also do is the DOJ uses income tax to threaten the media. You will say what we want you to say or kill this story. Otherwise, they will end up personally investigating that person. And it's usually income tax that they look. I mean, Al Capone, how did they put him in? Income tax. All right. They couldn't get him on any of the so-called mafia stuff. It was income tax. I mean, this is their catch-all phrase. And basically, They can't put you in prison for not paying the tax. They put you in prison for not telling them you owe it.
And to be clear, for those that don't know, and this has been done by all the major financial publications, where they do 30 different CPAs, 50 different CPAs, 30 different tax lawyers. You all get different answers because it's written so they can put you in prison if they want. It's a maze that if you're not part of the establishment, they can say you're a criminal. And I mean, no matter how much you pay them.
Yeah, I mean, look, we advise a lot of different governments and central banks. I don't take any money from any of them, period. Not even our own. Reason is because they have a law that says if I take money from any government, then I have to register as an agent for them. It's you know, so we don't accept money from any government, period. Not even our own. So you know, they have all these different little rigs and, you know, and clauses when it comes to income tax, and it is detrimental to the economy. Our proposal was basically to eliminate the income tax, eliminate the debt. You take the debt, you issue coupons, then you would take the coupon, go to Merrill Lynch or whoever, and then you invest it in shares or corporate bonds. They then take the coupon, go back and redeem it. We basically get rid of the national debt. Governments barred from ever borrowing again. Even that theory is pre-Bretton Woods. It was like, you know, if the money supply cannot increase, then it's less inflationary to borrow than it is to print.
Sure, Martin, most of our audience is very informed and gets it, but we have a lot of uninformed, you know, educated idiot liberals listening. For those that don't know, because I've been told, not just it's in the news, I talked to the Trump people. I know you've been advising Trump for a long time. The bottom line here is the big announcement is we're very close to Trump initiating this. He says he will. And so that's the big announcement. We're close to getting rid of the income tax. We need to get behind that, educate the public on why it is good, why it's a no-brainer, why there's no debate. That's basically what you're doing here. So for the new liberals, and I'm not being mean, it's true, who really are economically ignorant, will you just talk to them like they're 5 years old? Will you explain to them how this works and how it's going to help them?
When you borrow money, all right, up to 70% of the interest that we pay goes offshore. It's not stimulating the domestic economy. All right. It's no longer necessary when we don't have physical money. All right. Why are we borrowing paper dollars that we print anyhow? I mean, it's nonsense. Our interest expenditures this year will be $1 trillion more than defense. Within 5 years, it's going to consume everything. All right. You can't constantly keep rolling this. Now, if we eliminate this, as I'm saying, what happens? Interest rates will come down because the government is competing with you for a mortgage. Basically, you're going out to get a 30-year mortgage and you have to pay more than the government. All right. So if we eliminate government borrowing at that level, long-term interest rates will come down. They're competing against the private sector for money. You know, and
Martin, I'm not being mean, but is it possible for you? It's impossible for you to dumb it down. So I'm gonna dumb it down for you, and then correct me if I'm wrong. The left thinks everything comes from the government. They don't understand that big central banks want us to collapse to fully own us and control us. They're using it as an economic weapon. We're coming to the end of the cycle. We have to either get off of it or totally collapse in the globalist great reset and be permanently impoverished. You'll own nothing and, quote, be happy. In their own words, a very dystopian forced austerity, quote, to save the earth, but really just to put us under feudalism. So for the left that wants to have their debts forgiven and their student loans and all this crap, you do that by not having an income tax and basically eliminating most taxes on working people. And then the middle class explodes and then diversity in the economy explodes. And then that creates the prosperity. Just like Kamala saying, I'll just make companies sell food for cheaper prices as if they're the ones that cause the inflation. And these people hear this like Cardi B and go, great, I'm about to have everything cheaper, because they have almost zero economic understanding. Obviously, Harris's controller controllers know exactly what they're doing and want the Cloward and Piven collapse to bring in total social control in their own words. So how do you explain basic laws of physics? I mean, this is mathematics. This is history. This is reality. How do you get it across to these people? What is their problem, Martin?
A lot of people are just simply brainwashed. You know, they don't think about it. If you look at it, 40% of the people will always vote Democrat simply because maybe that's what their parents did. And they don't ask questions. Like I said, if you look at most of the presidents are elected 51, 52, 54%. You know, only three presidents ever got 60% or more. And that was FDR the first time. That was Johnson after Kennedy was assassinated. And Nixon when he said it was going to take us out of Vietnam. So most of them, you know, it's less than 10% of the population that decides who is the president. Because they're not looking at issues. It's that. You know, that maybe 20% to give it, you know, enough room, look at the real facts and make a decision. The rest of them do not.
I'm going to tell the left again. If they eliminate most of your taxes, it makes the economy explode. And then you keep that money. And now you make the decision where you spend it. And right. Then that makes better diversity in the economy, better quality, and more competition. This again, these are laws of the universe. And I just don't understand how something so simple cannot be communicated to these people.
This has been going on for thousands of years. It's even in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. So it's been outlawed for a very long time, but they still do it. I mean, just ask anybody from Eastern Europe or you know, in Russia or China, they're, you know, do they want to go back to communism? And absolutely no way. The propaganda, that's why Putin was so popular, because he wasn't an oligarch and he wasn't a communist. The people did not want to go back to communism. And, you know, and the oligarchs like Boris, you know, Barsnovsky at the time was just trying to sell everything Russia had to the bankers in New York for the cheapest deal.
Martin, let's get into that, because I know you're a geopolitical expert as well. Putin's reaching out saying he takes Trump as genuine. Medvedev said he thinks Trump's genuine, but they'll just kill him if he does try to end the war. But the globalists aren't all powerful. How would you advise Trump on how he should handle the Ukraine situation?
I would cut them off. The problem is NATO is the one that is the retirement home for neocons. So they've all been moving over there, anticipating a possible Trump victory. And so you had NATO out there trying to raise $100 billion, which didn't go over very well. And they were calling it to Trump-proof, to keep the war going against Russia. They will try. They're the ones that said, well, we should give the long-range missiles to Zelensky and let him attack Moscow itself so that maybe then Putin will attack anything in NATO. And then they think they can invoke Article 5 and force the United States to go into it. Article 5 is not absolutely mandatory. Trump can back out of it. NATO should have been shut down a long time ago. It was formed basically, you know, when Khrushchev, we will bury you sort of thing. The days of empire building are long gone. And you have NATO trying to open up offices in Japan. You know, they're trying, in all honesty, what I've heard from real live sources is that this whole one world government thing with the UN that, you know, Schwab and those are behind, the IMF and the World Bank would basically form the monetary unit. And NATO was to replace the United States as the Department of Defense globally. This is why they're trying to expand into Asia.
Well, they've officially want NATO as the army of this new one world government. And you just dropped major history on people. People don't know that Stalin kicked the Trotskys out. The Trotskyites ran to Mexico and the U.S. They took over part of the Republican Party. They're the neocons. That's mainstream history, folks. And then a lot of them are from Ukraine, and they literally are retiring back there with a lot of the stolen money that's being sent there. and they're actually leaving and then trying to put laws in for five more years of funding for Ukraine, regardless of where that goes. And so talk about it in a sick way. That is a victory, though, that actually the neocons are leaving the United States.
I hope they go. I know some of them, as you know, I've had dinner with them. You do not see a warm light when you look in their eyes. You just don't. I know Bill Kristol even spoke at one of our conferences back in the 90s. His father's the one that started this. I had arguments with Bill back then. He said if we removed Saddam Hussein, Assad from Syria, and Gaddafi, we would bring peace to the Middle East. And I said, you're completely out of your mind. But, you know, they're always into this regime change. As you know, I went head to head with them. They wanted me to put in $10 billion back in 2000 to take over, you know, for a regime change in Russia. Most people don't realize, but they blackmailed Yeltsin. They were trying to force him to step down. They with $7 billion that he took from the IMF. Then you had the communists at the same time filing a motion for impeachment. That's why he turned to Putin, because Putin was neither side. And his last words to him were, you know, protect Russia. That's why he was so popular. He had over 70%. He's not a dictator.
Sure. And so people don't understand, Martin, like you do.
Afraid of communism over there.
Sure. For people that are, I know most listeners get this, but a lot of new listeners are historically and geopolitically illiterate. The neocons are literally out of Ukraine and Russia. They got kicked out by Stalin. They hate Russia. They tried to go back and take over with the oligarchs. Putin kicked them out. Now they started the war in Ukraine in the last decade. It's the neocons that are driving all the wars. They basically run the foreign policy of the Democrats. That's why Liz Cheney's their darling. And so when you're identifying them, you're not just talking about some old Republicans for no reason. You're talking about the brain trust, the evil, quote, geniuses, the Straussians that we're dealing with, and you're identifying them. And I think what I'm getting from you is the neocons are coming to the absolute end of their power.
I hope so. They're not going to go out, you know, just quietly into the sunset. I mean, they have been. In the Biden administration, look at what you have. You have Garland, who claims to have family ties also to the Ukrainian area, and saying that Russia, you know, persecuted his family. Victoria Nuland, same thing. Okay. And Blinken, all three of them have uniquely ties to that area with their heritage from their family.
Stay there, Martin. I want to get more into this.
How did three of them end up in the Biden administration?
Martin, stay there. Let's do a few more minutes on the other side, finish up on this, and then end the economy, what else you think Trump should do, what you think the bad guys are going to pull, what we can be looking for, the markets here in the United States. Stay right there. But he just nailed it. I mean, you know, like a bunch of the administration are Ukrainians, and they go back to Trotskyites. Okay? And then a bunch of them also go back to Nazis before that in World War II. You can't make this up. And you got the vice prime minister up in Canada, who's the co-chair of the WEF, she is the daughter of a top Ukrainian Nazi. I mean, you can't make this up. I mean, they act like villains because, I mean, they're villains, folks. We'll be right back. So I'm just asking you to keep me in the fight. And we got great T-shirts and incredible blow-you-away supplements and everything and our great sponsor, DallasJonesStore.com. There's a VIP section on there that I noticed was getting really a lot of traction, and because I hadn't really, you know, since other folks own this, other folks that are great run this, the folks at Bigly, great Patriot backers, Total Patriots, J6ers, you name it, I didn't realize how good the VIP thing was. So when I saw this the other day, I said, I better talk about this. So if you're a member of the Alex Jones VIP Club at alexjonesstore.com/VIP, or there's just a big link at the top of the page, this is a critical time in our nation. We don't know what the future holds for the operation. The following information I'm about to relay to you is imperative so we can stay in touch, you can get great products, and keep me on the air one way or the other along with the crew. Monthly member credits. Every month as a VIP member, you get $40 of free store credit. Did you hear what I just said? That's right. It's like money in your pocket with the best products on the planet. So you pay $30 to be a VIP, and then you get $40 free. That's $10 you make. All the Alex Jones products at the best prices. We're talking about 10 to even 40% off the already existing sales. So sometimes becomes lost leaders in the store 24/7, 365 days a year. This is an unbeatable pricing you'll never find anywhere else. Automatic double entries in any of the giveaways, like the awesome turbo diesel super truck, $138,000 value. The winner of the sweepstakes will be announced the 30th this month. You want to win? I know you do. As a VIP, you'll get double entries in every single giveaway. No effort, just double your chances, just like that. Exclusive VIP-only giveaways. This is where it gets big, folks. VIP members get entered into their own exclusive giveaways every month. Nobody else is allowed in these. Early access to products, promos, and giveaways. VIP members get first access to new products, promotions, and giveaways before anyone else. You're in the know. Oh, and did I mention orders over $99? Free shipping. We're not letting shipping costs slow you down. It just goes on from there. So, thealexjonesstore.com/VIP. Or just at the top of thealexjonesstore.com, you see the VIP button. We're fighting the new world order. I don't have billionaire backers. I am not controlled by anybody but my own soul, my own brain. I'm trying to do the best job I can. Thealexjonesstore.com, it's up to you whether you want to back the number one broadcaster that the enemy hates the most. I mean, they literally hate my guts. Because they know I'm for real, and I can't be bought, and I can't be intimidated, and I'm wild, and I scare them, and I don't know why I'm such a lovable, friendly person, but Satanists and pedophiles do not like me, and that's good because I don't like them either. And look, we've already done irrevocable harm to them; we've already just devastated them. I mean, world government, the New World Order, everywhere is being talked about. The whole world's turning against them. They're super dangerous because they're throwing the kitchen sink at us to try to keep control. And I just don't think at 50 years old, after 30 years, when I understand things better than I've ever understood, that I should let these criminals, these globalists, run me to ground. So, I don't give up. Vince Lombardi, winners never quit and quitters never win. I mean, I have moral fortitude and will and commitment. I just instinctively can't stand these people. I know they're super dangerous villains. I know they want to break all of our wills and make us super poor to dictate total control over us with a social credit score. And that it's a super high-tech system of slavery. And you look at the globalists, they're the most slithering, disgusting snakes and scum. And are we going to sell out our species like this? I mean, it's just, this is a joke. This is ridiculous. We're changing the world. They want to censor everybody because the globalists are weak.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
All right, I say this because people need to recognize it, not for credit, but so you understand how pertinent and key this broadcast is. We are recognized by the State Department, the CIA, congressional testimony, all the enemy corporate media as the genesis point of getting Trump into office, of waking up the Tea Party before him about the globalist order. The Tea Party was get rid of the Federal Reserve, have low taxes, control the border. I'm all for that. But we educate them about the neocons, the New World Order, and the plan for the global government, and the plan for the UN to take over our lives and have a global vaccine passport decades ago. It's been on the drawing boards. Now they're trying it. And so I was like, well, the Tea Party's great people. I'll just wake them up to the New World Order, and then, boom, you see what happens. So Ron Paul did the economics in areas. He's recognized as that by the enemy publications. There's literally college courses taught on this. Look it up. Like a double-headed dragon's how they see us. They see us as bad guys. And then I'm over here about the globalists, the New World Order, and the technicals and their master plans. And then you've got all the great economists like Martin Armstrong and others out there exposing it and educating leaders, both corporate and governmental. And I say this not about credit. It's so people understand game time. I would probably have more viewers today and listeners if I just showed clips of the left throwing fits and freaking out and acting like babies and attacking people. And, you know, just going crazy and them crying last night when Kamala did a Hillary and hid, which isn't even getting covered. That's unprecedented other than Hillary doing it. That's all fun and games, okay? We're talking about the neocons that are the brain of the left that are setting up the police state, setting up the UN takeover, setting up the biomedical tyranny, setting up World War III, getting the executive order signed for martial law and calling the military out that Trump didn't do, that the current administration with 74 days left inauguration has set up. They didn't set all that up for no reason. They could stage some major false flags and still try to keep Trump from getting in by doing false flags and blaming his supporters. So if you think we're out of the woods, folks, you got to think coming. So I'm not going to sit here and make fun of the left. And look, those are their zombies. Those are the victims of the mind control. Those are victims, fellow countrymen that fell to this virus, this mind virus. Okay? I'm trying to get to you, the most active, smart people, to understand. I know most of you get this, but some don't. We just won a major battle, but the war is not won yet. Now, the enemy is starting to build backups and move to bunkers. Big tech, the neocons, that's all good. They're showing signs they know they've lost. But they are still entertaining global crises to try to catapult themselves back into power. If they're not identified, if they're not exposed and their plans spotlighted, they will try them. Now, exposure, from my experience, they don't like. Because then their own people get decompartmentalized who aren't completely evil and then blow the whistle. So our enemies are very weak right now. They are off balance. And I suggest we finish them politically, culturally, by totally exposing them and then ostracizing them. We don't need to run around and, you know, hang them upside down like Mussolini in the middle of Rome. Going back to Martin Armstrong, Martin, you're just dropping major historic bombshells here, but I think for some people they kind of glaze over it. What do you think of what I just said? How do we stop the neocons? As you know, they're the brain trust of the neoliberals. What is your advice to Trump and his supporters about what we should do to secure this victory? Do you have my same concerns of them, of the bad guys doing Hail Marys?
Well, I think our computer, which has been really phenomenal, it's showing that we are going to have rising civil unrest, certainly going through December into January. I don't think these people are just simply going to walk away into the sunset and say, okay, fine, you won. This has been an unprecedented election. They've called Trump supporters everything from deplorables, Nazis, and then what Biden called as the last one was garbage. You can't insult half the country like this. But this is, you know, they've been staging this coup and they think that they can force their agenda upon everybody. And that's just not the way democracy is supposed to work or civilization. Civilization functions only when everybody benefits, not when one side says it's now my turn to oppress the other. I mean, this is absurd. But I am concerned that we're going to be looking at very significant civil unrest. What I have heard is that they are trying to plan a staged protest in Washington in January that would be so outrageous that they were forced to be calling in the National Guard. And then they want to turn and say, see, Trump is he's a dictator. They're going to keep this up. They're going to try and do the same thing they did during his last administration, block every single action he takes. But if we have the House and the Senate, that's going to be much more difficult. So they have been focusing more on NATO and to basically take NATO, to create World War III over there and try to drag us in on that basis. But, these people are, I don't know, like I said, I know some of them. I just think that they got psychologically damaged from the 50s when we all had to hide underneath our desks, for air raids and stuff. I don't know. I guess maybe it psychologically really affected those people because it's just they've been obsessed with Russia. You can look on YouTube. You had Robert McNamara before he died. He did a video and a book. And he took us into Vietnam. And he said, look, we went into Vietnam because he thought Russia was there. And then he apologized and he said, sorry, you know, we were wrong. Okay, but it's always been about Russia. So this is what we're looking at. And I would be very concerned. We're not out of the woods yet because they are they're just not going to walk away into the sunset and peacefully. They have created an awful lot of people that have this has been a hate fest. I know one person here in Florida who was the campaign manager for Luna, their local, representative here. And she was just standing in line at a poll and she was, physically attacked by someone. It's just, this is just not acceptable. But you have people who have been completely, I think, mentally, disturbed on this.
And Martin, back up what you say, because everything you say, I've done deep research, you're just saying, and I know it's all true, that the Democrats run by Senator Blumenthal have put in a bill that's sitting there that when President Trump is president, he will be barred from calling out the military domestically, which is a legislative attempted coup over executive powers and it's a constitutional crisis. And they say there's going to be uprisings. Carbel says they're going to have violent uprisings. And then when Trump follows his job and calls out the military, exactly, they're then going to say he's Hitler, a dictator. So they've been pre-programming to do this. They've admitted they're going to do this. And then all they need some false flags, like this latest FBI plot. They try to get this lunatic white supremacist to shoot up, black people and blow up a power station. And they admit they handled the guy. They wound him up. I would expect more of that to be the excuse. And see, oh, see, Trump supporters are Hitler.
Oh, yeah. This is, it's all a campaign to paint it in that direction. The whole, as you know, I was involved in the attempted coup of Russia back in 2000. They tried to drag me into that. And that's why Hillary said that, she lost the election. She claimed that, Putin interfered, because she thought that was retaliation, because that's what they were doing to Russia back in 2000. When she was asked, why did Russia, did Putin interfere? Because I had said he rigged some election, then that was nonsense. It was that, I was asked to put in $10 billion and they were going to stick in Boris Berezovsky to replace Yeltsin and would have controlled Russia. That's what they were.
Absolutely. And then yesterday,
and it's the same thing today.
And then yesterday, if the gas breaks or the election machines, the conservative areas don't work in Arizona, the Russians did that. And even the FBI would admit no evidence of that. They just, if you slip on a banana peel, no. The Russians did it.
Yeah, look, this is, they want to basically present that because Trump is anti-war. I was pushing RFK to join Trump because I knew also he was anti-war. But most people didn't know, but back in 2016, Trump had offered him a commission on vaccines and he took it. So I knew there was a connection between the two. All right. But I also knew that Pfizer and the rest of them, from what I believe took place, was that they were threatening people in Congress that to cut off any funding from them if this commission went through. So it was shut down about 3 to 6 months before the COVID vaccine. That's why I was pushing the two of them to get together.
Absolutely. And it came out the UN had meetings. The UN had meetings in Helsinki right before that, saying that the world was waking up to them and they needed something to get people back on board. And then, of course, they provided it. But now that's blown up even bigger in their face. In closing, what do you see? Obviously, the markets are way up on the Trump victory. What do you see short-term, mid-term, long-term? Where is the world economy? Because it looks to me like even though Trump's got good policies, he's being handed a pretty bad situation, isn't he?
Yes. Globally, we're looking at a recession into 2028. That's going to be much worse in Europe than here. Trump can limit any kind of downside here. And I would push basically for the whole thing as far as tax reform here. If we can do that and get that actually through, if we have a majority of both houses, we got a shot. But I mean, like I said, I worked on that with Dick Armey and everybody back back in the 90s. But it was difficult to get, you know, Bill Archer was for a retail sales tax. Dick Armey was for the flat tax. And, you know, Dick, I was sitting in his office and he said to me, he says, look, you know, cycles, if we, you know, can't repeal the 16th Amendment, when the Democrats get back, we'll have both. And I said, you know, Dick, you're absolutely right. So we need something different than just simply, you know, the we're not going to be able to repeal the 16th Amendment because that requires, you know, every state to also ratify. You're not going to get that. I mean, it's just.
And sure, you know that if we do a con-con, they can put a bunch of other bad stuff in at the same time. Con-cons are dangerous.
Yeah, we're going to have to, you know, look at this seriously and try and push it. And I think we have a good shot that, you know, we can hold on to this type of a position. If we, the economy does well, then we can hold on to it in 26 for the midterms. That's basically what I'm looking at. But expect, you know, civil unrest to rise, particularly going into January. They're not going to give up. We're going to have to defend these victories. But like I said, if you look at the charts we published, the Democratic Party is in a decline. And our computer projects that it will most likely completely collapse. This agenda of Marxism, it was the first time it got FDR elected, but it has been dwindling ever since. And plus, Russia and China have fallen on that theory. So, you know, the Democrats are going to have to come back and redo this. I mean, that's our model, which showed strikingly this time, you know, two of them were at 61 and 59%, which is the first time I've seen that. And I've been running this model for 40 years. So it showed that we had a good enough lead that it was too big for them to fix this time.
Martin Armstrong, thank you so much for spending time with us. ArmstrongEconomics.com. What a historic time. Thank you so much, sir.
Well, thank you for inviting me, and take care, Alex.
Take care. Ladies and gentlemen, I am very sober, as you can notice. I get it. People deserve to be celebrating. I'm not judging people that are celebrating. But you just heard Martin Armstrong, and he's a very respected economist and really a historian. And a lot of world leaders listen to him, and he just told you what I'm telling you. They are getting ready to stage false flags. We're in the 70-something days, and they are getting ready to try to have an uprising, as Carville said and as others said. And they are so deflated, and all of their election fraud didn't work. They mitigated the win in the House and Senate. But it's a paradox. Yes, we have crushed them. You know, Owen was, I'll answer Owen's question that he's going to be getting to when he comes up the last half of the next hour with all the graphs and then the House and Senate, mainly House fights that aren't over yet. We got to watch so carefully because that's where they really, in the last few midterms and general elections, you do some stealing there at the end and the Republicans lose a lot of their majority in the House or lose the House completely. And I'm not saying that's going to happen, but no one's like, we got to ask, why did Trump do better in these states than the down ballot candidates? And that's because a lot of people were just checking to see if they had Trump checked, and then those ballots got manipulated later because they know there's less attention on those. And there was a lot of election fraud going on. So, I mean, again, this was a giant landslide, but the wall of fraud, the seawall of fraud, the blue wall was a big seawall. So this giant tsunami comes in, but only part of it went over. And you could call it a decent win, a baby landslide, but it was a big landslide in reality. And Trump got the popular vote and the Electoral College. So This is a mandate. This is a major repudiation. And it's like a child that you love. And you, you know, your wife's pregnant, 9 months, have the baby, take care of it. Now it's, you know, now the child's 5 years old. And, you know, maybe your child got really sick when they were three and almost died, but got better. And so you won that battle. But let's say your child, God forbid, at five is in a car wreck. You know, that's another crisis. That's another issue. Because life is a war. And you know, everything is a struggle. That's what makes it strong. And this is the biggest victory since 1776, since we won that war, you know, years after that. But for the whole world now, it's way more important because of the geopolitical issues and the globalists that have captured America, using American power to set up this purely evil, anti-human global government. So this affects the entire planet at a massive level. And I know you know that. But with Elon Musk saying the UN's criminal and unelected, and the WEF's criminal and elected, and the New World Order's bad, and global governments are enemy, that's the big corporations. That's BlackRock. That's the people that are programming the culture and that want to break up the family and make us weak and control our bodies and poison us. So this is a big deal. And I know most of you get that, but for the new listeners, if you had any... And I'm talking about leftists out there. I know you watch. If you had any real economic, cultural, historical understanding, if you were not illiterate, you would understand that we're trying to just save ourselves and you along with us. I mean, I'm not Hitler. Trump's not Hitler. I'm a liberal like Thomas Jefferson. Now, that's the opposite of what you are. You're not a liberal. Liberals are for more freedom, maximum human freedom and mobility. You guys want to control what everybody does. You're a cult. You're the one censoring, not us. And that's the reality. And your assault on reality is no longer working and not facing the fundamentals of the global political realignment and just turning the BS up even higher. Just took it to cartoon-esque levels. So we have an opportunity here, not with the really bad guys, because they're never going to stop, but with a lot of their minions and people, and even some high-powered ones, to say, listen, why don't you just join Team Humanity? Why don't you try getting on your knees to God and repenting? If there's still good left in you, I want you to know that I don't want to enslave you. I don't want to kill you. I don't want to run your life. You can do what you want in your life. Just don't do it in mine. You understand that? Stay away from my children. Stay away from my freedom. And understand that I'm sorry that my culture is the best. I'm sorry that my ideas are the best. I'm sorry you feel like losers and hate everybody. And so you want to bring society down with you. We're just not going to let you do it without a fight. And if you keep turning the heat up, you're the ones that are escalating with this stuff. I have no desire to smash you, but we will. And I think you figured out by now, I'm talking to the globalists themselves as well, that we're not playing around. All right? I fundamentally believe in humanity. I've bet on humanity. And I am simply pointing out who we really are and asking people to stand up and be who God made them. And we will win. And you look at the people that follow Satan, you look at the satanic system, I mean, these are a pack of losers. Come on, people, stop serving it. It's going to destroy us all. Now, we're going to go to break. I've got all these clips, all this insanity that, I mean, these are incredible clips. I should have got to it right at the start of the show, but I haven't. I mean, I've got like dozens of them. This is all wild. It's all very important. A lot of it's them capitulating, and then the other ones just saying, no, we're going to arrest Trump. The deep state will save us. I'll get you next time. villain stuff. So this is important. It's all coming up. Now, you really want to go to the alexjonesstore.com because we've got all the new Trump 1 shirts, And unlike other companies and other places, when the Alex Jones store says they've got it, it's not going to be made in 2 weeks. Like with InfoWars, we'd put something up and say 2 week wait because we didn't own the factory. These guys have the factory. It's all being made in Arkansas. And so when it goes up on the site, I mean, I asked for a hat Monday. Sunday. And Tuesday morning, it was on my desk. This one right here, Trashy American. I said, I want a red hat, red and white hat, trucker hat with Trashy American in this font, white font with the black line around it. It was on my desk Tuesday morning when I got here at 8 a.m. I mean, boom. So I said, hey, I want a hat with fluoride. There's poison in the tap water. We put this out before Trump came out and said he's going to ban it. Great to educate people. Great looking hat. We got all the murdered out MAGA hats and Make America Great Again. These are really kick-ass hats. Go get them. They're at the alexjonesstore.com, and there's a lot of new amazing T-shirts. The Trump 2024 shirts, the Trump Rocky shirt, back-to-back, back-to-back, back-to-back champ. That's right, he won all three times. They just stole the middle one. The ultimate comeback, celebrate it, wear it, back-to-back, back-to-back, Trump champ. Trump won. That's a really good-looking shirt. And then you spread the word about the broadcast for alexjones.com. Oh, I love that red one, Trump won. I mean, these are with the American Eagle up there. I guess you'd say the eagle rampant. Today is your Independence Day, 11-20-25. Oh, yeah, that's the real date right there. The battle was won. Now the war will be, for that phase of it, won on the 20th. They're all there at the alexjonesstore.com. And, boy, look at that new red Trump one hat. That is good looking. I'm going to call them and say, hey, please put that in the mail to me. That is, ooh, that is sexy. That is classy. Goodness gracious, Jiminy Crickets. Landslide, the definition. An overwhelming majority of votes. Yeah, put that back up. Show me that. That was amazing. So, perfect time these coming in because we need the funds. InfoWars should be shut down by next Wednesday. And we need your support. So, remember, they take over InfoWars and all the rest of it. You'll find me on X at Real Alex Jones and at AJN Live for Alex Jones Network. And it's just crazy. We need your support. Great supplements on the site as well. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We'll be right back. Mike in Florida. Mike, you're on the air.
But with respect, Alex, to what you're talking about funding the operation and just funding wars in general, I got a question for the audience. Yeah, you, the audience member that's never donated or spent a dime at the store. What if the New World Order succeeded because you weren't willing to put up $50? What if the New World Order succeeds because you weren't willing to put up a $20 donation? Would you be able to live with yourself? Because I can tell you, as an 18-year listener, Alex, I probably spend about $1,000 a year at the store right now. And anytime you ever release something, I'll just buy it just because, and maybe I'll give it away as a gift or whatever. But to the people that are not funding this, are you aware, because you live in a capitalistic society, just every time that you purchase something, that you're giving credibility to whatever that is? So instead of going to Amazon, why don't you just go to the Alex Jones store? Why don't you just get supplements? Why don't you just get t-shirts? What's the issue with that? So ask yourself the question, are you going to let $50 stand in the way between you and the New World Order?
The globalist master plan, the key to all their power, they admit, is the global social credit score, where they track everything you buy, tell you what you can buy, and then use that for total control. So they already know that the real voting power is in what you buy, what you promote, what you support. And that's what I'm saying is, in this war, imagine if we'd have kept Trump in, inflation would have been much lower, and everybody would have saved tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. So people lose money by not backing good political candidates, not supporting good companies, not backing groups and organizations that tell the truth. That sabotages the entire globalist operation. So you hit the nail on the head. Thank you so much for the call, Mike. They wouldn't be trying to shut us down if they were so powerful, if things were hopeless. It's that simple. Take action. Action defeats tyranny. Keep the tip of the spear on air. Energize me now, and I swear to you to give you 110%.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.